Have you ever felt overwhelmed by life or unable to see any other way through? Maybe you've even said to yourself, there has to be a better way. The good news is that there is always a better way. It's time to reclaim your humanity. Welcome to Getting to Unstuck, the 20-minute jolt that you need to help you in life and work. So let's get started.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Tuesday.
Same to you.
Thank you. It's a great day to be here with you. It's a great day to be thinking about ways to get unstuck. And it is a great day for the conversation that we're going to be having today. So welcome to the show. Before we get started, we're going to be talking today about five ways that leaders fail to support their team. But don't worry, we're not going to make you feel like a failure. We're just going to help you face the truth about what he's saying.
Yeah, hopefully.
Our job is not to make you feel like a failure. Our job is to help you understand the opportunities. But in the meantime, before we get started, I wanted to let you know that if you have not yet signed up for a free workshop tomorrow, we have a free workshop every month towards the end of the month. And we have one coming up tomorrow, which is Wednesday, April 24th. And we're going to be talking about how to use coaching conversations in leadership and how they can help you as a leader. It's free to join. So you can find out more over at wholehumancoaching.com. And secondly, this is a little bit of a soft launch announcement about a really exciting training that's starting with us and our team here at Whole Human Coaching. It's launching on May 7th, and it's called Reclaiming Leadership. And it is a certificate program that you can take with us. We're going to have more information out about that later today, and you'll be able to find all the information on our site. We're going to be talking about that as we get closer to that. But we want you, if you're just hearing this for the first time, to think about what it would it mean for you to reclaim your leadership. What would it look like to be able to walk into a room, walk into a conversation, being confident in who you are as a leader, and also confident in your tools to be able to connect with the people in that room and in that conversation? It's a different way. It's a different, for a long time, leadership has been about, it's been very top heavy, and it's been about having the power in the conversation and the decision making. And reclaiming leadership is about you understanding where the real power lies in our leadership potential.
I just wanted to add, Crystal, too, that like the reason that we're calling it Reclaiming Leadership is because we believe you are whole already. Yes. We believe that we're simply shining light into areas you might not have seen before. Mm-hmm. So that's the idea, that you've got it already, and we're just kind of going to help you amplify that and light that up.
And it really goes to our commitment about whole human, is that each leader is a whole human being. And so you bring all of that to the table. And that's the advantage of training yourself in that way, is you learn what tools are going to be most useful in what situations. So it's a really exciting program.
It is very. I'm excited because I wish that this was the kind of leadership program that I would have had available when I first started as a leader. I would have understood a lot of things about myself, and I would have had a lot of insights about how to connect with people in a meaningful way. And so it really is an invaluable tool that leaders are going to be able to use over and over again. So it's a combination of in-class training, as well as there are portions of it that you can do on your own time, because we understand that people have busy schedules. So we're going to be talking a lot more about that in the days to come. But for now, we also want to talk again, dear friends, about five ways that leaders fail to support their teams. So there are, I mean, there may be others, and but we've kind of distilled it down to five main areas that people can, we encourage leaders to think about. We're going to talk about them in terms of the pain point of what it is, and then ways that we can alleviate that, how to interrupt those patterns in ourselves and questions that we can ask ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's talk about this from the perspective, first of all, before we get into those five things, I would love to hear from one of you about what is something that you think as a leader you've experienced where you've experienced from another leader that you're like, wow, that was a really great show of who they are capable of being as a leader.
Mm, okay. Ooh. Well, there's two individuals that come to mind when I think about that. And they were leaders in an organization that were very different personalities. But both of them had a way of being in a room of others. Mm-hmm. And I think they showed their different styles in the way that they did it. But what occurred for both of them, in my experience as someone for whom they were my leader, well, that was an awkward statement, they included me. So one of them was really vocal and really enthusiastic and made sure that everyone in the room was included and just brought that level of engagement right to the table. And the other one would say something and then step right back and almost become invisible. Such a different leadership style.
That's totally different.
Mm-hmm. Both of them allowed for voices to be heard around the table.
Mm, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Colin?
For me, it was somebody who decided to trust in my abilities and my judgment and my possibilities, I guess, when I wasn't a mature, seasoned, professional by that time. And it was hard. It was really hard because somebody puts a lot of trust in you. You've got to up the ante. You've got to do the, you've got to pull yourself up, so to speak. We're full of acronyms and metaphors this morning, aren't we? But the wonderful thing about that, and I've seen that recently, even talking to people and working with people, is if you don't, you begin to sort of micromanage, and the opposite of lack of trust is really, really closer to a team. So I think that for me, that was the biggest one where that person just said, "Here's a task, go for it."
I think for me, one of the key things when I think about someone in my life who exemplified some really great leadership was that they took the time with me to make sure that I understood, because we had very different communication styles. And I was something that they would say, it was very easy for me to hear something different. And they really took the time in a very non-judgmental way, acknowledging that we were different in our communication styles and making sure that we actually were, the filters were lifted off of our communication styles and that we were able to connect that way. Mm-hmm. So this is an interesting springboard, because the first thing that when we think about ways that leaders do fail to support their team, not intentionally, this is not like it's not like they're bad people or bad leaders, but we all have misses, hits and misses. And one of the ways that we see and that we know to be true from feedback and from what even tons of surveys and information that's been out there for a long time, one of the ways that leaders fail is the lack of clear communication.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if we could get a picture of what do you think kind of the pain is around that and the problems that it can cause.
I can swing with this one, Colin.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I've got my little list of
well, I'm sure
of,
you do.
What to do to think about. So go for it. Tell me about the pain.
The key word there, Crystal, is clear. Mm-hmm. Because all leaders and everyone that I've ever met communicates, but most of them unwittingly do it quite badly because they lack the clarity. And there's some really simple things that you can do about it. But if you haven't got that, then everybody reads an email or listens to a message or has an interaction with you and walks away going, oh gosh, I'm really not sure what I should be doing.
Yeah.
that they didn't give me an answer that gives me any useful information at all. And there's such a simple way to remedy it is in how is auditing your actual communication.
Yeah.
So there, if you're using in written communication, shorter sentences with very clear language, mm-hmm. and not a lot of exclamation points or things like that.
Yeah.
And in your verbal communication, you're doing the same thing. Imagine if you were speaking like a run-on sentence without taking a breath. Mm-hmm. No one can understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
The clarity comes in short, concise bites mm-hmm. that people can absorb. And if they have a question, they can ask it.
Yeah.
So it's not delivered from on high and kind of dictated to you. It is a two-way effort. People get a question, mm-hmm. get an opportunity to ask a question if they're not clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I agree. And one, I would add a couple more too in my little list of research that I was doing. I've got understand your audience. I think that goes back to what Crystal was saying, right? Like understanding that there are differences between people. So get to know your audience. In empathy and active listen. That is another takeaway. Consistency, transparency and honesty, emotional intelligence and storytelling. I think even in some of the work we've been doing recently, I think we're in a lot of organizations, it feels like we're missing play and joy and storytelling and a smile in that mm-hmm. communication process. Mm-hmm. So bringing all of those elements into the workplace of the 21st century, hopefully not the 19th. No,
we could talk a lot about that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. And remember at an event that we were facilitating, I will never forget, we use it all the time. One of the people in that room said, clear is kind. And that mm-hmm. has been so valuable, even for me for context in any of my speaking or my own leadership, to remember that clear is kind. And if we can mm-hmm. remember that, then that helps to set the path for better communication. Mm-hmm. Okay. The second thing that we see that leaders can fail to support their team with is there's a failure in fostering a culture of trust. Now this is a big multi-layered scenario and situation that would take a lot of conversations. But what are some of the ways that are just maybe subtly obvious about the pain points around this?
Right. Go ahead, Colin.
I was just thinking of that situation I heard recently about, you know, even the simplest thing like a document, right, or a project mm-hmm. plan that gets shared across, you know, a sharing platform like Google Docs or Teams or something that has to go back and forth 25 times because maybe somebody on a staff team didn't get it right and somebody up on the leadership team thought they needed to change a word here and there. So that kind of not trusting the troops almost feels, and it expresses itself in these sort of tedious, mind-numbing, motivationally back and forths.
Yeah,
sorry, that I just came to my mind, Carol. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh yeah, you know it's what it is you know all those cooking shows where they come down to the final minute and then they tell everybody to take their hands off. That's what we need to tell leaders. It's like, okay, hands off. This is not the end of the world. Whatever the result is, you can manage it afterwards, but you can't micromanage it now because that leaves a message, which is really clear. You don't trust me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and don't be like Gordon Ramsay for sure in that kitchen. Because going to send a lot of people home.
We don't want to do that.
Anxious and depressed.
There is something about being respectful of your colleagues, of being respectful of those that work for you. It's like, this looks like your best work. I don't even need to review it. Thank you. Let's move on. Yeah. Because that's the pace that we are moving at. We've got to be able to move on. And that culture of trust begins to develop when our leader gives us permission to move on. Okay, great. Move on. And then that's where trust you like that example you use, Colin, of a leader who said, I think you've got this. Go.
Yeah. Yeah. How right. important is that, right? Just to hear those. Yeah. Small words that can change things. Yeah. Okay. So the third thing. Changed
dramatically for a very long time.
Yeah. That's a fantastic point.
Because
yeah.
I think it does. I know something like that had a huge impact on my career because I became much more fearless in just going for it, right? Going out on a limb. And sometimes everything wasn't right. But, you know, that stifling of creativity is so, so detrimental. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So the third thing that we identified was one of the failures is not providing adequate support and resources. So this is kind of almost the, like the yin to the yang that we just had talked about there a moment ago.
Yeah. Oh, and we see that too. We see it all the time. People feel like they have no budget or no people or no ability to complete the task that's handed to them.
Yeah.
And there's lots of different reasons for that. And sometimes they are budgetary constraints, and sometimes they are resources, human resources that are not there. But what's missing in that, as much as anything, I think, is the goes back to number one, which is communication.
Exactly.
You're gonna have to get this done, and I know we don't have enough people to get it done, and it's going to put a load on you. How can I help?
Yeah.
So I've got my little list again of my I do my geeky research behind the scenes. And so clear vision and communication always goes back to communication, doesn't it? It's just that should be we should call it leadership communications, actually, because that is like always the number one. But clear vision, resource allocation, training and development, support and encouragement, empowerment, and adaptability and flexibility, which feels like we don't see a lot of that these days, but
yeah, anyway, flexibility. That's a really important thing to be building with your team. It's like, we're going to have to do it. We're going to have to stretch here, but we're going to be able to rebound on it because we've learned that elasticity. We've learned that capacity for resilience.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So the fourth thing, and I think that it is tied to all the other ones because we are whole humans, but the fourth way that we can fall short in our leadership and not support our teams is by neglecting appreciation and recognition. Mm. And this is not necessarily about a plaque on a wall, although I know that that's kind of like the old, I don't know, 80s idea of what appreciation is like, but what are some of the ways that that can happen, do you think, without people realizing it?
Things move too fast. You know, we don't stop. We don't pause. We don't.
Yeah.
Time.
I know teams that we're working with and speak with have started to actually put it in their agendas, put it in their diaries so that every week or maybe not every day, but they have this moment in time where they talk about how they're doing and how they're feeling and what's going on. And it's not sad, but it's kind of unfortunate. Maybe it's just a sign of our times that you have to put it in the diary to acknowledge and recognize
the
fellow humans around the table. But that's certainly a way of remediating this kind of, you know,
it's a simple fix, right? Like it may feel very pedantic or whatever to do it, but it's a simple fix.
Yes.
To be able to get yourself in the habit, like to shift your own internal paradigm around, because just because it doesn't feel like it's that important to you as a leader does not mean that it's not important for the team.
Oh, and if we realize again at our human level, I'm speaking with a leader last week, and he's a leader who reports to someone else. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, you know, in 2.5 years of being here, I don't think I've ever had a word of praise or a positive reinforcement of my work. He said, I'm really resilient. I know how to do this. I'm not lacking in confidence.
Yeah.
But what a difference it would make if I just heard from my leader, attaboy. You know, we think, how weak and wimpy am I if I need that? But we all need that.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting you say that because I was speaking to somebody recently who is under an enormous amount of pressure, lots of moving pieces, big team to manage, and all that person needed to hear from me was recognition that it's okay to feel the way you're feeling.
Yeah.
This is normal. Because nobody in the office had told that person that, you know, it's okay to feel under pressure. It's okay to feel a bit of like all of the sort of the pressures that that person was under, and just even an external party saying, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to feel this way. Now let's work on how you can get past it. And the person was just like, it was like a light bulb went on. It's like, oh, I'm not by myself and I'm not alone and I'm not thinking crazy thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not under whatever. I'm not different or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm. The final word I would put there for leaders though is that it is authentic. Because there's nothing worse than somebody going, ooh, you did such a good job today. I want to give you this gold star. It's like, I want you to actually when you can recognize me authentically, then I want to hear it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think authenticity kind of goes through all of these five points, right?
It's you've got to
be real.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 So what's the last one, Crystal?
Yeah, let's bring it home. Number five is an interesting piece because it is something that, because it's another thing that often does get maybe pushed to the back burner because it's not deemed as critical or because we're in the tyranny of the urgent, but it is about the failure to when we overlook professional development opportunities. Mm-hmm. And when we say that, we really do mean for ourselves and for our teams.
Yes.
It's kind of a twofold statement there. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I think I would love to see a measure for leaders is that the people that work for them get promoted and leave their teams.
Yeah.
And that's how they're known as to be a good leader. Mm. Their people leave for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Because they are, as a leader, they are promoting them internally and giving them that support and confidence to be able to go, ooh, that role, you know, it's a stretch for you, but you should go for it.
Yeah.
So it would be an interesting way to measure leadership.
Yeah.
That's true. I put the little ticker under our thing to remind people about our mission, right, of reclaiming humanity in the workplace. And that's an important thing to remember.
Yeah. And I think that professional development opportunities, now I know that we are also biased because we run professional development opportunities with our with our coaching and our training programs. But above and beyond that, or in addition to those kind of opportunities, sometimes it is as simple as podcasts like this, encouraging, I don't know, I've had book clubs going in my workplace before that I did with my teams, you know, around how can we develop around certain characteristics that we were wanting to work on together. Like there's a lot of opportunities, but the point is that it is development. It's a practice. It's a continual growth, right? Because that's the sign at the core. That is the sign that you are a leader, that you're a whole human leader, is that you have a growth mindset. You're willing to continue to grow and you're not scared to realize that maybe I'm missing something. Maybe there's more that I need to consider here. That's a sign of a good leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Being flexible. Being willing to look inside.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, guys, this was a great conversation. Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you to those of you who are here, who've been listening live. And if you are listening right now, wherever you are, to the recording, I want to thank you for tuning in. Don't forget that we have a free workshop coming up on Wednesday, the 24th of April. You can sign up for that at wholehumancoaching.com. And stay tuned because we are about to start letting people know about how they can be a part of Reclaiming Leadership, the course that's coming up in May. Have a great day ahead and thanks for listening.
Good.
Bye, everybody. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. If you want to learn more about who we are and who we work with, find us at wholehumancoaching.com. You can find us everywhere on our socials, on LinkedIn, on TikTok, on Instagram, and on YouTube as Whole Human Coaching.